It's been almost 20 years since Simpiwe Dana, you know, touched ourselves with opening a welcome to South African music. You'd find it hard to believe. She's a multi-award-winning singer-songwriter that has been around for, what, 18, almost 20 years in our commercial music space. I remember, I think I last saw you at the 2018 Cape Town International Jazz Festival, and then of course the next year we had lockdowns and things.
Oh my god!
I think I've also seen you at Kirstenbosch concerts before.
Yes,
and you celebrate 20 years, 18, 20 years, two decades. But of course, you build up before you launch an album, and you celebrate almost two decades in South Africa in music with a special concert next week at the State Theatre. That's in Pretoria, but you're here in Cape Town. Simpiwe Dana, thanks so much for coming into studio. What an absolute pleasure, privilege. Big fan, as is the people who've come and crowded around our studios. Welcome to Cape Town. Firstly, you're not performing in Cape Town. This is just a little holiday, a vacancy. It's nice.
Yes, it's just a small vacancy.
Almost 20 years in South African music. There is a longevity that many artists don't get to enjoy, and there's some value in one-hit wonders, but you've managed to maintain and sustain over almost 20 years. What's the secret?
Oh gosh, it honestly, I think it's consistency. I think it's being honest, creatively honest, when I create, that is, you know, taking from an honest place and forgetting about being trendy. The one last thing is that, you know, I'm very much passionate about the human condition, and therefore I'm an observer of human beings, and therefore I guess because of that I always manage to tackle issues that you know are very much pertinent at any point in time.
Let's talk about that honesty. You're an artist that hasn't been afraid to be outspoken, and whether it's been hitting out at politicians or whether it's hitting out at the music industry itself. I understand. I have friends in this industry who need to make ends meet. They need to satisfy certain people, certain egos. You haven't been able, or you've been quite adamant you don't want to do that. with also not withstanding the risk that it could bring to a career, gigs, but you're quite honest and open that saying, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut when there are issues that affect me and issues of big issues or even like small industry issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you that, you know, don't try this at home. the repercussions can be very, very real. And I've made peace with that. But I do find that it's possible that is one of the reasons why I am still part of the South African fabric, you know, cultural fabric, because perhaps of that as well. Even though, you know, it may have cost me a bit in my personal life, emotionally, this and this and that,
It allows you to be creatively true and honest to yourself. Of course, people need backups. People need to sustain families. They simply need to eat. And that has been quite something that's quite been evident in the last 2 years with artists.
Don't even tell me about the last 2 years.
And not even people on the stage. It's the stagehands. It's the lighting. It's the sound.
The whole industry as a whole, it came to a halt.
I want to talk about, and this is something that has come up this week, is the issue of the flag. Our beautiful flag.
What a contentious topic.
It wouldn't be the first time you called Nathim Tetwa useless. You called him useless last year.
No. I called the president useless.
Oh, you called the president useless. Well, let's start with that. Last night, the president gave some insight into why the 22 million rand flag fiasco was stepped back. You were speaking at the Black Business Council function last night. Let's have a listen to that comment. Johannes?
Tetwa comes to me. He says, President, please tell me when I can call you. So I say, Tetwa, I'm in a cabinet committee meeting. We'll talk afterwards. So I call him back and he says, President, this flag thing, which is such a wonderful which is such a wonderful initiative. It seems that our people are not happy with it. Gary, no. Of course they are not happy. What should I do? Gary, cancel this thing.
It's like Cyril Ramaphosa was the ShopRite till assistant who had to shout void on Nadim Detwa's purchase of a 22 million rand. Like, your thoughts when you first saw that, especially, and what we did earlier this week, we asked artists and we said, mm-hmm. We said the 22 million for a flag. What if we said we're giving 22 artists 1 million rand? They can survive off it, live off it, but also create something that is in the theme of the plan. What was your thoughts when, particularly in the way that artists have struggled to survive the last 2 years?
Yeah, no, the timing, definitely. I cannot even believe that, you know, our minister thought at such a time this would be a good idea that would bring us together. I think, firstly, that was hilarious, especially in the face of the anger that the artistic community has towards the ministry, in how he has dropped the ball in many ways to come to the party and help the industry survive this, how he seems to not be in touch with what is needed. But on the issue of a national monument, you know, I literally have heard many stories, like, opinions that made sense. One person said that, how about the crumbling monuments that we already have that are not being maintained properly, you know? How about those, like those that have been neglected? How about you focus on those, you know? And then there are many, like, it actually is a serious worry that, you know, our heritage institutions, et cetera, are not are being neglected. Mm. And that, for me, was a very good point. And then someone like did mention that, you know, these monuments, they bring money to the countries, et cetera, et cetera. But usually they are not funded by the taxpayers.
That's right.
You know, and I was like, that's a very good point as well.
I adore Penny, Penny Lebrania, and who said, yeah, but what about the Eiffel Tower? What about the Statue of Liberty?
They're all privately funded.
She also mentioned Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro. Mm. It was funded by mostly the Catholic Church, with donations
the
from
the Catholic people, yes.
So there's definitely, if you want to create monuments, bring in the private sector and say, help us out there. But when we have a department that whose job it is not just to promote the arts, but also to sustain and set the economic framework, like a Department of Small Business must create laws and legislations that help small businesses grow, that department must also set up the structures to sustain this economy,
and look at us. We are bleeding, like the industry is bleeding, and we've been saying to him, do something, do something, do something. Mm. And then he comes up with this brilliant idea of a flag.
My last question around the music and politics was when I get into your performance life. I don't necessarily believe you need a doctor as health minister. I don't necessarily believe you need someone who knows property development to be the minister of public works. But do you think, maybe arts and culture is different? Maybe, I don't know, maybe there needs to be a bit more someone in tune with the soul of an artist. Do you think we need an artist, a heritage practitioner, a cultural activist to be a minister of arts, culture, recreation? And I'll exclude sport from that, because I personally believe
those are two different portfolios. I do think that we need someone who understands the value and the role of the arts. And, you know, I feel like our government treats the arts as
nice to have.
More like, you know, they put people there that they can't find space for anywhere else.
I don't know about Nasim Tetwa, but a minister of funerals and welcoming back people at OR Tambo Airport when they've, you know, performed well on the international stage. That's largely what.
But the thing is this, right? Like, you know, if you look at government departments, and if you go in there, these people work hard. Like, they are running around like headless chickens. Like, they work. You know. Like working for a government, like that's a lot of work. And working for a ministry, that's a lot of work. Mm. The problem is not that they are not putting in the work. The problem is the vision of what needs to be done. Mm. That is the issue.
We are speaking to Simpiwe Dana, who celebrates almost two decades of music and providing us with the artistic and the cultural sustenance that we need. We don't just need the food, we need the soul food. And she celebrates almost 20 years in the South African music landscape, contributing to our culture as South African. She performs, if you happen to be in Pretoria next week, she performs at the State Theatre. I think it's on the 27th.
Or 28th the, and the 29th.
28th and the 29th. I have a few more questions. We're heading up to news, and I want to talk more about our performance and the culture of performance. As I said, the last time I saw you was 2018, Cape Town International Jazz Festival. Slowly, it's opening up to smaller and smaller gigs, and hopefully there's a time when there's a mass event. We'll talk about that after Eyewitness News. But if you have a question for Simpiwe Dana, you want to reflect on the music, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Simpiwe Dana back after this. Here with us in Cape Town. What a privilege, Simpiwe Dana. She's celebrating all close to 20 years in the South African music and business. She has two special shows next week. If you are in about the capital, in Pretoria, Tshwane, next week, go to the State Theatre, the 28th and 29th, and go enjoy that. What I've enjoyed about your shows, and I've seen you a few times perform, is it is a performance. It is either very introspective and very intense emotionally. You draw yourself close to the mic, or it is all over the place. Have you been able to practice the stage craft, enjoy the full length of the stage recently, since we're slowly coming out of a period of lockdown?
I will say, I've really missed performing. Mm. And as a result, we put together a very big show like maybe a month ago. Mm. And for me, I wanted to challenge myself to see if I still got it. So we did this big show from nothing, really. You know, myself and Gregory Makoma and the Vianney Dance Company, we put together a project called Moya that ran for three nights at the Joburg Theatre. And if I tell you that it was sold out on all nights, and the reviews have been simply fantastic, I think that would be an understatement. So to answer your question,
I always wonder why performers who make me want to either sway, if it's a soulful song, even once you know, once we get up and dance, why do they book opera houses and theaters? Because I want to groove, man. I want to dance.
It's the spaces that we have, you know. Like, you know, those theaters should create room, like dance spots. Now, there's a dance floor there for you.
You end up drawing in this little stairway passage.
Yes, no, I understand.
About dancing and the type of music that we appreciate, of course. The market, the commercial market, is dictated to those who are young. It's dictated to those who listen to the radio. The young don't necessarily have the income to pay for tickets to festivals. Well, maybe they do. It's the older
market. Parents do.
The parents do. But they dictate the market. So and house music is what South Africa is known for. Of course, there's the very serious and earnest jazz that.
And piano now.
I'm a piano. I actually saw someone the other day. He was celebrating on Twitter. He's a student of musicology, and he got his master's. And his master's dissertation was on core music, and also with elements of I'm a piano.
Yes.
And that is absolutely brilliant.
That's brilliant.
In what South Africa contributes. But yeah, how do you feel then about what radio stations play is usually the groovier, younger tunes. And I hear a lot of your music on like serious. Cape Talk plays a lot of some Biwe Dana.
I mean, I'm but a serious musician.
We are all the serious audience.
No, the thing is this, businesses will always cater to the young market because it's the incoming market. You know, it's the market that dictates, you know, lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. So it's naturally like they will do that. But, you know, when I first came out, there was house music. It was huge. Kwaito was huge. Like all of these trends have come and gone. And my music has raised a lot of these kids. Right? They've grown up with my music and they still love it. Now I get, private messages about, you know, my mother, I grew up in, from when I was 8 years old. I've listened to your music from when I was 8 years old. I'm now 22. Thank you so much for this song. And it means this and this and this and that to me. There has to be that music that is the anchor of our culture, you know? And then from that, then, that then can inspire. All of these offshoots, you know, this GOM, these and this and this and this and that, but there has to be an anchor, you know, a repository of who we are as a people of our culture. And music like mine serves that kind of purpose. And there are many other artists as well who serve that purpose.
You've performed and toured extensively in Europe. For many artists, it would be easier simply to make a bass there, and I think of a beautiful artist like Tutu Puani, more inclined in jazz and jazz standards, but she's based in Belgium, I think it is.
And she
tours a lot there. Of course, it's our game because you're Kostel, I can see you face to face, but has that ever been a consideration for you, particularly early on in the career? When, like, look, you've toured in festivals in the Europe.
No, I used
to. Has that ever been a consideration?
I used to tour Europe extensively. It was a consideration, but I had two small kids. The reason I stayed was because I couldn't figure out how to give my kids the same quality of life that like they had here in SA, especially, you know, like when you first get there. So I chose to rather stay in SA. And it's only now that I'm making plans to move.
Oh, really?
And I'm not sure if it's not too late.
Is this an announcement?
No. I mean, I won't be moving. Like, I'll be in between the two countries. Okay. Like, that's more like the idea. So there won't be a big announcement. Bye, South Africa. Goodbye tour. No.
But that's very interesting. And I'll... I have many particular young black professional friends, whether they be in accounting or actuarial science, who's in even medicine. And when we think of the brain drain in South Africa, we think of particularly white professionals and people who have experience, maybe not feeling that they have space here, and they go for various reasons. But many of black young professional friends are leaving South Africa. And your thoughts on that? But something I must admit I've maybe juggled in my head, but I also look at my reality, family and extended family and the age of my kids. But your thoughts on that? And this, now you're saying, look, maybe I want to divide my time between here and there, maybe create a base there for me. How do you feel about that?
Listen, the country has been a little bit crumbling, you know. Like, one of the reasons why... You know, I said, you know, President Ramaphosa is the most useless president we've had so far. Is because of those kinds of things. Like, it just feels like there's no one at the helm. You know, if you talk about corruption, then we can say, yes, the president is doing something. We see, you know, there's Zondo Commission, this and this and that. But just generally, like the running of the country, it just feels like there's no one at the helm. You know, and that is scary. It's scary.
And I appreciate when people in arts and culture and some, you know, take a bold decision to even say something like that. You're performing next week at the State Theatre in Pretoria. When do we see you here in Cape Town again? When do I get to see you controlling the stage again? And this is now particularly calling out the promoters and the bookers and all those people,
Cape Town is a problem. I don't know why. Like, Cape Town is, when it comes to bookings, it is a problem. But I'll tell you that I'm planning to bring Moya to Cape Town. So we are having a conversation with a number of theatres. I'm also actually even hoping to have a meeting with some of the theatre directors here, like Artscape, for instance. I really would love to work with Artscape on this. So besides that, you know, we don't really get we don't get calls to come and perform in Cape Town. We don't know why. We can speculate, but we just don't.
Unfortunately, we don't have time to flesh that up. But when you're in Cape Town again, please come say hello again. Really want to have some more time.
It was wonderful.
Simpi Wedana, congratulations on almost 20 years in South African music. If you are in Pretoria next week on the 28th and 29th, go to the State Theatre for a celebratory show on Simpi Wedana's career in South African music. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of Cape Town.
Thank you, Lester. Thank you, Cape Town.
Have a good one.